Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is happening up in the sky today. Sorry, I've got to move my... Somehow anymore when I hit mute, it doesn't stay muted. Just like it doesn't turn itself off by itself like it's supposed to. It's like every time there's this little minor change in the computer, all the programs and applications don't work right, which is sort of annoying, but it's the world we live in. What can I say? So I hope everybody is doing well this morning as we are sitting here right now, about 45 minutes away from the void of the moon breaking with the movement of the moon out of Gemini and into Cancer. So we're sitting here on the verge of a shift in the energy. So we're going to want to talk about that today as far as what does it mean for us when the moon moves into Cancer and shifts us all to more emotions and emotional moodiness. As well today, I want to talk about a couple of, one major transit and another minor one, creating some discomfort, let's say, in our lives over the next few days. And then as well, we are sitting here today at the beginning of a new Human Design Week. So we want to get into what does that mean for us? And this is the week that I had told you where the Earth was sitting at the gate of shock, gate 51, which is now called the gate of initiation. And the Sun is sitting at the gate 57, which is the gate of intuition and instinct. So we have intuition and instinct playing with initiation. It ought to be a fun one, right? It ought to be enlightening at the very least. And then as well today, at the end of the show, we will get into doing some card readings. It's Thursday. I have the three from yesterday, Debbie, Leslie, and Pauline. And I will leave it to Asa later in the broadcast to take a list for me of people other than those three. But I'm going to ask you to hold until I ask for that so that it doesn't get lost in the scrolling of the information. So hopefully, like I said, everybody's doing well today. The moon is still in Gemini right now. I knew it was sitting in late Gemini because I had this attack of the chatties this morning. I'm chatting with Asa in the behind the scenes. I'm chatting with my friend Cornelia. I'm chatting with my friend Andy. And I'm chatting with my husband who's running back and forth doing things to get ready to go to work. And then when I looked at the chart and I went, oh yeah, the moon is at 28 degrees of Gemini. It's on top of my sun. So of course I was in the chatties, right? It was like something triggered and I was in a good mood. I still am. I'm always in a good mood though, unless I'm not, which is rare, but still, right? And I just knew that that was what was happening. It will be 8:45 this morning, my time here on the West Coast, when the moon breaks the void and moves on into the sign of Cancer. So we have another 45 minutes of chatty Janet, and then we'll get into emotional Janet. Yeah. Anyway, so let's finish our talk about Gemini energy then. In fact, actually, there aren't any other new aspects. That's why the moon is in the void, right? She's just wandering around at the moment, trying to finish that transit through the sign of Gemini. So what we really need to talk about is what it means in Cancer. So in Cancer, we have home and family, right? It's the sign of what we think of as our foundation in our roots, right? Roots literal with family members and genealogy. And J-Lo, you'll love that because the moon in Cancer really loves to take us on that journey into our past and into our lineage, which is our ancestry. And for those of us who've done a lot of ancestry work or genealogy work, you know how easy it is to get caught up in the stories from the past. That is very Cancer type of energy. So it's exploring the traditions of a family, of your own family, imprinting new traditions into your family, and all of this being laid out as a foundation of who you are. It's almost that home becomes the anchor so that you can go out into the world and be drawn back to a place of safety, right? It's a safe harbor. So home and family, important. Safety, I already put that word out there, is also a part of the Cancer moon experience. Security, right? The safety part comes in from security, the security of having home, of having people that, you know, are consistent in your life, for having financial security. That's another big part of Cancer, at least in the world that we live in, having enough money, having enough food in your cupboards, having enough feeling of belonging is a part of that Cancer experience. Protection, right? It offers us protection. Emotional closeness. This is a sign of caring and nurturing, of a search for intimacy, and intimacy because we belong, right? We belong and we could share of ourselves in the context of that family. Empathy, right? Feeling for one another, sympathy, taking care of one another, compassion are all also water Cancer type emotional feelings. Feelings and moods, right? Moodiness, changing moods in response to both the things going on in the outer world, as well as the changing moods that are going on from within you. So we are more sensitive to these changes when the moon is moving through Cancer. And it creates within us a response, i.e. an emotional response to whatever the stimulus is. So maybe it's something that you hear on the news that cracks you up, right? And you just start laughing. That's an emotional response. Maybe it's something you hear in a conversation that makes you angry, or, you know, things like that. So our changing moods have to do a lot with what the stimulus is in the outer world, but also can be prompted by what is going on in here, right? Our response to the things we hear or see or feel are going on in that outer world. So in a real way, when the moon goes through Cancer, it really can test our ability to respond versus react, right? Cancer, water energy can sometimes, that emotional volatility where it just can come spilling out, right? All of that emotion just makes its way out into the world. And later you're like, why did I do that? So also nurturing energy, mother, father, whoever it is that is the nurturing adult in the family. It is focused on that kind of person in the family. Food, a part of Cancer, right? How do we nurture one another? What do we do when we're not feeling well, right? We maybe get that cup of hot tea or our hot coffee, which mine is no longer hot. Not sure why I'm holding it. And food like soups, right? Stews and chilies and things that make us feel comfort. So food is a part of the experience with the moon in Cancer, and being supportive and supported in the world, allowing. Cancer sometimes has that hard shell and they don't want to allow much in. So that hard shell from the Cancer crab, kind of keeping the outer world at bay, kind of being used as a wall to keep, you know, separate. But allowing is also a part of the Cancer experience, allowing people to break through, to support you in your time of need, or in getting where you need to go, or in doing what you need to do. But also all of us being supportive of other people in this particular. Pauline is asking a question about stability. Is it a part of Cancer? Stability is... stability really comes more through the sign of Capricorn. That's where we would build stability. But Capricorn and Cancer are opposite of one another. So you can't like take them apart and say, no, that just, you know, is over there in Capricorn and it's more security that's over here in Cancer, because it's the security needs of Cancer that form the stability that helps the opposite point in Capricorn. So it's real easy for us to want to take a look at just the sign that we're talking about, which today is Cancer, but we have to be able to look at it across the whole of the scope of the horoscope, right? The whole of the zodiac wheel. So the opposite sign of Cancer is Capricorn. They are not, they're, mirror images of one another, right? So you can't have one without the other. it reminds us that in astrology, it's all built on relationships, as is our outer, as is our personal lives, right? Our personal lives are a bunch of mirrors that we call relationships. And they show us, you know, different things about ourselves, depending on who the person is. Well, when the moon is in Cancer, transiting through Cancer, our moods and emotions may be showing us where we are not feeling stable, or where the Capricorn energy is out of whack. And it's mirroring to us what it is that we're trying to create in the now. Just as when the moon is in Capricorn, it's all business. And we look back over at the Cancer side to see where it is that we may be out of sync with family and home. Maybe we've put too much emphasis on the business part, or the, you know, the military part, right? The duty part, and not enough on the feel good part. So it's all about the axis, not just the one sign. But when we have a planet moving through a sign, i.e. the moon now moving through Cancer, it is going to trigger any of the energies that are over there in the opposite sign, or even squaring it, or even in the sextile. So it's really difficult for us when, you know, I get conflicted in the morning when I start to talk about things like moon in Gemini or moon in Cancer, because I'm always thinking to myself, it's not that simple. It's not, right? They're all interconnected and interwoven. Remember at the beginning of the week, and we got the card for the collective, the spider, and the spider was all about weaving the story of humankind, weaving your dreams into reality. Well, think of the zodiac wheel as a spider web, right? A web, a perfect web of all of these interconnections, right? And they all come together and form a complete picture. But that picture's dynamic is often changing because the moon is moving quick, the sun moves a degree a day and changes signs every 30 days. The other inner planets, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, they're moving, and it changes the landscape, the interconnected nature of all of the planets. So I hope that helps. And yes, we can say that Cancer and Capricorn have a need for stability, but we could also say that the other signs have some part of that feature in their energies as well, right? What is stability for Aries? Stability for Aries is the ability to change, to move, right? To have motion. Stability for Gemini might be being able to have a conversation, to be able to write or express themselves. So we can look at it through all the different lenses. But if you're thinking of stability in terms of that safety feature, right? I have this home base I can always come to, then definitely Cancer and Capricorn bring us to that kind of stability. That's a long way to answer that question. I hope that helped. Leave it to me to get outside of just the answer to the question. So, let's chat with everybody before I change over to the transits for the day. Loanne, good morning to you. Christine Buckingham, hello. Pauline, obviously you've got that. Andy and Cosmic Lineage, this group. Yeah, I like that. I like that idea, Pauline. Mimi, good morning. Amy Energy, good morning. J-Lo, hello. Ingrid, good morning. It feels like a Friday. Oh yeah, I've been off all week. Totally out of sync. I don't know what that's all about. But good morning to you. J-Lo says, grand rising. I love that. Kathleen Mallory, good morning. And let's see who else is with us. Asa, great to see you out there. She's coming up to be the birthday girl soon here. Sylvester, hello. Grand rising, lovely people. He's again sending love and positive vibes and inner peace. Andy girl, I made two big pots of homemade soup yesterday. You did tell us yesterday morning you were making soup, and I was thinking today I might try to make maybe a chili. I made lentil soup last week and vegetable soup the week before. I don't want chicken soup. I've had too much chicken this week, so chili sounds good. Cosmic Calibri, it's great to see you. But she says, finally, I am live with all of you. Really appreciate it if you can pick a card for me. Please, been not an easy time. Cosmic, I think your actual name is it Illyria? I'll maybe tell us what your name is. I'm just going to put Cosmic right down now for Asa. So thank you. It makes sense. Very good. Ursula, good morning. And Cosmic Calibri says, oh, I already read that one. Good. Pauline, yes, so helpful. A broad view. Ursula says, Asa, please add me to the card list. A Mayan card. I like that. By the way, I was digging through some of my books the other day because I was looking for my Courage of Souls or Courageous Souls book. I never did find that book, but I found a book that I used a lot during the 2011-2012 period of time about the Mayan calendar. And I was astounded at how closely it follows the Pleiadian Earth calendar. And of course, we know that it's likely the Pleiadians that gifted the Maya the calendar and that astronomical or cosmic evolution way of looking at what was going on here on the planet. So Debbie, I got your name on the list already, sweetie, because of yesterday, right? So I have you already. So don't worry. You're first on the list even. So we had, I was going down memory lane, looking at all of that energy just to make sure that everything was still, you know, meaningful to me. And it was pretty amazing. All right. So let me go back and let's just finish up what I was chatting about with Cancer energy before I go on to the other transits for the day. So two things left here, one to watch out for, right? We always have the positive, and then there's always that sticking side, right? The other side of things. And what we have to watch out for with the moon in Cancer is insecurity, right? Little triggers coming up where we feel insecure, where we may, that then forces us to maybe feel more needy or more clingy than usual. Watch your children. They may actually mirror that to you, right? When they become needy or clingy, especially little children who are not filtering the energy that's coming in, then you know, right? That maybe there's something else that you can look at within yourself. Maybe it's fear. Fear of rejection is huge in the sign of Cancer. So maybe there's something going on there. As far as health is concerned, it rules the whole breast, chest area, the pancreas, the stomach, and tumor growth is also a part of Cancer. So when we're looking at the health of the stomach, again, we're taking in, this is the inability perhaps to digest from the stomach, to send from the stomach down through to the intestines, the goodness out of the food that you are eating. So taking in and how mood, have you ever, you know, anger and think about how anger, if you're trying to eat something, you just can't, right? It sits in your stomach like a rock. Or think about when you're excited and you're joyful and you're sitting around a table with your whole family and everything's going well and everybody's eating. And then, you know, your great aunt so-and-so pipes up and starts a problem, a political conversation at Thanksgiving. And now the food turns to ash in everybody's mouth as they're sort of choking and gagging on that. So amazing how the stomach and the idea of eating is affected by mood. And that is in the Cancer wheelhouse. All right. So as far as transits today, we have a biggie that we've actually been in the midst of. It's been building over the last several days from about October 2nd all the way through the 17th of this month. So we have, you know, another week or so of this energy of Mars in a square to Pluto. And it's exact tomorrow. So it's in play. It's in play now, but I thought I would play with it today because this is about issues around control and confrontation and all of the yucca coming up from the deep. So I was thinking about this because for the last two nights, my husband has had dreams that are pretty terrible. One, he dreamt I was being attacked and he couldn't help me. Last night, it was a different dream. It was a weather, you know, we're being attacked by wind. And I'm thinking in my own dreams last night, one of my sons had committed a crime and I was trying to help him get away. And I'm thinking to myself, what is all of this? And then I checked the transits today and realized that Mars in retrograde, squaring Pluto is bringing up these dark places hidden within us. And then it may be coming up through your dreams. So that's why it was my first thing there was check your dreams, because your dreams may be showing you where you still are holding on to things that you cannot confront in your day or your waking life. And it's playing out in your dreams. And dreams are very symbolic. Sometimes they're psychic, definitely, but often they are symbolic of something that has not been worked through in your day life. So checking your dreams is a really good way for you to know what it is that's been needling you during the day that you haven't quite brought into consciousness yet. And because the spleen is what is activated right now in human design, as fear is one of the major themes through that center, or survival, right, which brings up fear, then is it any wonder, right? Then you throw in a transit like Mars square Pluto, and it becomes a very big deal for us to deal with our fears, right? Those, whether it's logical or not, right? So checking your dreams, finding out what has been buried, and it's coming up to the surface. It's happening in the outer world too. Right? Things that were hidden come to light. Voices, messaging, actions, all things that were out of integrity, because the big theme of October is integrity. And what's been out of integrity coming to light. Not so much to, you know, shame us or guilt trip us or anything like that, but to help us to get back on the right track. Remember, Mars is in retrograde. He's having us get clear about our values and about where it is that we need to walk our talk, right? So, you know, if you're finding yourself as a spiritual person and you're supporting people of low integrity, you have to wonder what's out of sync there with you. And, you know, are you throwing your weight behind a person or a group, anything, you know, that even whether it's apolitical or political, it doesn't really matter. Are you throwing your weight behind something that is really kind of diverging from your stated values? So we all get this opportunity during this period of time, and it's been ongoing, to check and make sure that we're living our lives accordingly, right? If we are walking our talk, right? If we're aligned, because if you're not, things are going to come up that expose that out of syncness to you. Out of syncness isn't even a word, but where it is that you're out of alignment, where you're out of integrity. And remember, integrity is being true to you, right? So if you're saying one thing, but you're doing another, which one is the right thing, right? Are you saying what you think everybody wants to hear while you're doing what you really want to do over here, or vice versa? So we get to check that. And any places where it's out of sync, it is going to show up in our faces as something for us to work through, not to, like I said, shame or guilt trip you, or, you know, make you wrong, but to realign you, right? Realigning ourselves, getting ourselves out of that psychotic state, right? That psychotic state that Pluto's been sitting at, triggering for us for a long time, and will still continue to trigger that shadow of psychosis, so that we can get straight, so that we can get back on track. So that particular transit is playing in the background. It's almost like it came into pass right after we left the collective shadow period. Now the shadows are up in our faces, and now we're seeing it splashed out there in the world, and hoping for us to be able to walk through it, merge through it, seeing where we've been out of alignment, and take action steps to correct, to course correct. But again, that's a longer period of time. We're still inactive until next Friday, it looks like, next Saturday. Now, also under the surface today is a Venus in conjunct Chiron. So Chiron in Aries, Venus now moving through the sign of Virgo, and it's triggering for us where we might still have healing that we need to do. So there's some discomfort, right? The nature of the in conjunct is kind of uncomfortable, like we're feeling tension, but we don't know why. We're feeling sensitive, likely because of the moon moving through Cancer. And that sensitivity is, you know, being translated maybe into restlessness or some kind of tension. And so what it is here for us, Venus representing our relationships, Chiron representing our healing path. So what is our interaction in our relationship showing us about our healing journey? Right. Ooh, my ear just went ringing. So what is going on in our healing journey? And we are likely seeing that through the faces of the people around us, right? The relationships, our seventh house relationships, right? Those people close to us that are our mirrors. And what truth are you confronting then about yourself through that interaction, right? And what are your relationships showing you about you, about where you are with your self-worth, where you are in your own integrity? So our relationships right now are really there to show us, if you're feeling the tension or discomfort a little bit now, about where it is that you still have some work that you need to do. But maybe the thing is where you're judging yourself, right? Maybe you're holding some judgment on yourself, but you're seeing it because another person is showing it to you. So again, it's all about that mirror. What's in the mirror? And are you living in alignment with your values? So we have sort of two transits here reminding us that this was the time for us to realign ourselves, to reimagine ourselves, to make sure that what we say we want is what we want. Is that right for us? Is that correct for us? Lots of people are confronting change in their lives, right? Change is upon them. And what is our reaction to change? Well, sometimes it's really positive. Other times it's like, no, don't, I can't stand one more change. But sometimes it happens in that initiation sort of way, or in that shocking sort of way. It's a great segue into the new Human Design Week. I sort of planned it that way. Let's take a look at what we can expect for the week. I'm going to share my screen here. You'll see this again later when Asa posts this for me on the Facebook page. So here we are in week 2, where the sun is at the gate 57 and the earth is at the gate 51. This is a week about being prepared to move through the challenges, those curveballs that life throws you, by using your instinct and your intuition. By the way, the gate of intuition or clarity or instinct sits on the spleen. So it also has a counterpart in fear. And the fear is about the future. We're afraid of the future. We're afraid that what we see coming at us might come to pass. And that disrupts us or disturbs us. We're afraid that what we see coming in the future isn't going to happen. So we can be triggered in different ways, right? The sun at the gate 57 about intuition is clarity in the moment. Remember, the spleen is related to time, and the time for the spleen is in the now, this moment, right? In this moment, the weather is fine, all is well, and remembering that in the moment and what happens tomorrow isn't set yet because tomorrow isn't here yet. All right, the earth at the gate 51 is the gate of shock, but it's a shock about initiation. It's and every now and then, we humans, we need this like shakeup. And that shakeup wakes us up and initiates us, our entry into a new way of being, into a new way of life, into an interesting new path, perhaps letting go of the old to move into the new. If we look at it through the gene keys, the sun at gate 57 in the shadow is unease. Like, we don't know why we're feeling that tension, right? Or that unease. The gift is intuition. If we tap into our intuition, we can say the weather's fine, right? I'm living in the future, or I'm recalling something from the past. But right here in this moment, feet on the ground here in this moment, all is well. Now, an hour from now, that could be different because who knows what happens an hour from now, right? So staying in the now and using your intuition, leading to the city of clarity, like, whew, right? Clarity. With the gate of shock or initiation, what we get in the shadow is agitation, like being in the washing machine, right? We don't know from one minute to the next what's coming to the surface. Also, the energy of agitation is sort of that when we are blending something, we're agitating something, you know, boiling food or boiling something, we're bringing up the things from the bottom, right? That kind of sounds like Mars square Pluto as well, because if we don't bring up what's at the bottom to the top, it can't be exposed to the light, and it needs to be exposed to the light in order for us to see it and awaken. And that's the highest expression of the gate 51 is awakening. So we're moving from agitation to awakening via taking initiative or being initiated into something. All right, so that's our week. Let's take a look at the human design chart for the moment, which I know I saved as well. Downloads, there we go. And I'll share that chart with you so you can see what that looks like. So what you all are seeing at the moment is the human design chart of the now. So this was first thing this morning. You see the sun now at the gate 57 and the earth. That is the symbol for the earth. It looks like a circle with a cross in the middle, right? The making a quadrant out of it. And that's at the gate 51-1. And the moon was at the gate 15 down here, a hanging gate for us all at the moment. We still have our nodes that are now, this is why the theme of integrity is so powerful, because that's what this channel here, the 26 has closed up the channel connection to the gate 44, creating the need for us to break out of patterns that have kept us out of integrity and to move back into integrity, living truth, not lies, right? Lies, no. Truth, yes, right? And the bigger T truths, right? Not just little truths, but the little truths all add up, just like little lies all add up, right? So the little lies add up. And here we are in the time of the big truths, right? The little truths leading to the bigger truth, the capital T truth. And so we'll see that now for the next quarter of time that we're in here. What else? Let's see the sun at gate 57 here on the spleen, right? So you can see it's hanging. Now in your own chart, this may look a little different, right? In your own chart, this whole gate may be open, meaning it's white. The whole channel from 57 to 10 or 57 to 20 may, or and even 57 over here to 34 is open for you. And guess what? That creates an entire circuit in human design called the integration circuit. And it's a part of a circuit where we're breaking down information that's coming into us and understanding it, coming to an understanding of it, integrating it within us. So part of what we're integrating right now is, for all of us, is our intuition, our connection to that instinctual part of what keeps us alive, that keeps us aimed in the right direction. The sun in human design is what gives us direction. It's almost like the sun each week as it moves gives a new directive. And then it is the earth where we are all living that grounds us and gives us what we need to be able to follow the sun's direction. So what we need from the sun's direction this week is about getting in tune with your intuition and your instinct. And what the earth is doing, what it's giving us in order to be able to do that is an initiation, right? It could be reminding us to live from our values and to be able, when we live from our values, then we connect to our higher purpose. Raise your hand if you're always struggling to determine what your purpose is. Now's the time, right? Now's the time not to struggle, but to realize you're living your purpose. Every day you're living your purpose, right? Your purpose might be to discover what your purpose is. Your purpose, like mine, is not to have a purpose, maybe not even recognizing what my purpose is until I die, right? Then I go, oh yeah, that was my purpose. Getting to the end and looking back and going, oh yeah, I get it. Sometimes purpose is elusive. And here we have a tool called intuition and instinct that helps us align with that in every moment, right? Following the right things. Your higher purpose might be just how you've come here to serve the world or to serve in the world. Maybe you're an artist like Mimi who does these beautiful baskets and scarves and, you know, beautiful pictures, you beautiful colors. Maybe that's her purpose, to just brighten up and bring joy to the world through art. Right? Maybe your higher purpose is to work with children, to be there when their parents can't, and to love them and guide them and be there to have fun with them, show them how to play. That could be your purpose. Maybe your purpose is to be a mother, to raise children, right? To keep a home, to be able to be in the home and make the home run smoothly. Maybe your purpose is financial, to help people get on a solid financial ground. How you're serving the people in your world is your purpose. And intuitively, we know, instinctually, we know what it is that we need to do. But we have all of these other things called the mind that get us caught up in thinking, and it pulls us out of the stream of the consciousness of where it is that we're supposed to be and how it is we're supposed to serve. So this week, expect to be pushed toward the direction of how it is you're here to serve in the world, how it is that you're here to connect to your purpose. And it may happen. I've seen things like this. I've seen people who have gotten off of their purpose, and often these are manifesting generators, right? Because they're so busy doing so much that they lose sight of what it was that they were really here to do. And then something shocking happens. They come down with the flu. They, you know, something they've been counting on financially falls through. Some kind of shock happens to wake them up to get back on the right track. It never happens to punish you, right? You're not needing to suffer because you've been wrong or because you've done things the wrong way. It's about giving you the opportunity to wake up and get back on the right track, building resilience through these different initiating or shocking events so that you can stay on target or stay on path, even in the context of a crazy world, right? Where every day it's a new drama, every day it's a new trauma, but you yourself can stay on the path through the storms and the shocks and the events of the outer world. So we have a big week at hand if you take a look at it from that point of view. And you can see that shock then has a purpose. It's not about killing us, hurting us, making us wrong. It's about waking us up, right? Getting us right back on the right target. And by the way, there's two fears triggered on the spleen right now. One is the fear of the future. The other one is the fear that the past is going to repeat itself. So we're carrying baggage in one gate based on experiences that we've had either in other lifetimes or in this lifetime, whatever. And on the other hand, we're also fearing what's coming next. So it's kind of a crazy kind of week where, you know, you might feel pulled in different directions. Okay. What's sitting at the gate of ambition? Ah, Jupiter. So expansion right now. Yeah, I love that. So Mars in retrograde has been at the gate 42, urging us to complete something. So we're on to a completion. And I really think he's the harbinger of completion of the Piscean age, letting go of all of that old Piscean energy to make way for the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction on December 21st of this year at 0 degrees of Aquarius. And so Jupiter with the gate 54, which is the gate that launches us out into the world with ambitions and goals. It launches us out on our mystical path. It is the opening gate, if you will, to the kind of a side opening gate for the mystical journey. When we go through that filter of our human design, what is your mystical journey? Well, it begins with the prompting or the ambition or the question asked that requires an answer. And the gate 54 kind of acts like the boot, kicks you out into the world to go out and find your way. But it can also be finding your way through a spiritual journey as well as the physical journey to find your life purpose. So we're all being sort of initiated there as well, with Jupiter sitting at that particular very powerful gate of ambition and drive, setting goals, right? And Mars helping us in retrograde to reimagine ourselves, to rebuild ourselves, to get clear with what is really important to you and what can be left hanging out there somewhere for someone else to do. All right, questions about your human design. I see my phone keeps popping up breaking news, Hurricane Delta strengthening. Ay, ay, ay. Ay, ay, ay. Asa, question, Pauline. Okay, that I already answered. Cosmic Ilaria, that's right. Thank you, Asa, for getting me straight there. And she's been starting a lot of things, raising funds to support abused women and orphanage in Mexico, but Mars retro is not helping her. That's because Mars in retrograde does not favor taking action in the outer world. It favors you looking inward to be able to reimagine, retool, rekey, reevaluate, redream what it is that you're doing. So the harder that you're pushing out to do something, the more pushback the universe is giving you in not showing you what you want, right? Not giving you what you want. Question, does human design show your purpose? Yes, it does, very clearly. So does astrology. And many times when I'm working with people in a coaching situation or in readings, one of the things they really want to know from me is, what is my life purpose? It is not my job to give you your life purpose. It isn't. I don't know that answer any more than you think you know that answer, but you've got all the tools that you need to embrace your life purpose. And it showed through different combinations of planets that are sitting in your human design or in your astrology. And if, as you begin to learn about yourself, what I do is I help you learn about you so that you can see the themes that are popping up, right? What are the recurring themes? I can lead you to it. I am not going to ever tell you exactly what your life purpose is, because a life purpose can be many different things. Right? Maybe you have a more mission-oriented life purpose. It's like an arrow pointing you in that direction. Maybe you have a life purpose that, like mine, isn't really obvious. There's no obvious life purpose for me except to speak from my heart, to speak from what's coming in. It could have been astrology. It could have been human design. I could have been teaching fourth graders, which was what my seventh grade self wanted to do, teach fourth graders. Why fourth grade? I don't know. I just thought that they were like really fun. They were smart enough to know. They were mature enough to want to learn. They were interested. And they were also still young and still, you know, moldable. That's what I wanted to do, teach fourth graders. And that's not what I'm doing. But at the same time, I'm still teaching, I'm still speaking, and it just happens to be astrology and human design and that type of thing that attracted me. So am I living my life purpose the way I thought it would be? No, because I actually had a big split in my life purpose, because my first 40 years of life, I was really into sales and achieving and climbing the corporate ladder kind of thing. And I did that really well. But then I was like, there was still an emptiness there. It wasn't quite right, right? But it's a process. Life purpose is a process. You don't look at your human design chart today and go, oh yeah, I'm a mother. That's what I'm going to do all my life. It just doesn't happen that way. It's a journey. It's a journey that, yes, your charts hold the answers to that journey, but you also personally have it within you, right? By what you're attracted to, right? What is your intuition telling you? Those are the things that are your hints along the breadcrumbs along the way to tell you what it is that your purpose is here on the planet, right? And it's different for everybody. It might be even different at different times in your life. That wouldn't surprise me at all. So, all right. I hope I answered that question. And Asa, now I am going to start doing some card readings. I have Debbie Tibbetts to me, and Debbie, and I also saw Ursula. I'm going to wait until she gives me the list. Do not put, Asa, don't put on the list Debbie, Leslie, or Pauline, and because I have them. They're my first three, but please, if you feel like it, give me the rest of the people. Okay, Debbie. Mm-hmm. Debbie, I'm thinking galactic for you. In fact, I started to reach for a different deck. It was also purple. So it was purple that sort of drew me, but the Galactic Heritage deck, right? The first and only of its kind that takes us to our star brothers and sisters, gives us insight from the galactic perspective. I like that. Okay, so Debbie Tibbetts Tumio, this is for you. And they want to be real. You renewed hope, Zeta Reticuli, the present. So renewed hope, Zeta Reticuli, or Reticuli. And let's see, that's card number 79, which is a 16. And here we go. When a crisis passes and we are no longer deep in fear, there's a sense of relief. It feels like a new dawn has arrived and the future is filled with hope. This is where the Zetas are emotionally in this era. Their species crisis has passed and they are feeling a new dawn rising. The message for you is to see each moment as a chance for a new dawn. Nothing in the physical universe is constant except change. That's a truth, right? That's a capital T truth. With each change comes the potential for beauty, joy, and growth. Don't let the moments of your life pass without noticing them as doorways to awakening. Begin now. Here's the commentary, Debbie. This card refers to an era of Zeta civilization when their species crisis had passed and they were on the road to recovery. With the threat of their extinction over, they reconnected with their joy and began to feel hopeful about the future. They realized that they could not go back to the ways of their past and had to reshape their civilization and themselves. If you pulled this card, its meaning depends on the surrounding cards and your life circumstances. It could be that you have recently passed through a dark time in your life and you are feeling the new dawn. If so, it is important to learn the lessons from the past and not repeat them before you move into your new future. It might also mean that you haven't yet passed fully through a challenging time, but you can look ahead to see when the dawn will come. For those of you who have strong Zeta connections, this card may also mean that you have a connection with this Zeta era, which the era was in the present, their present moment. In any case, let yourself feel the energy of a new dawn that is on the horizon. Always remember that personal work never finishes. The Zetas learned this too and continued their self-healing work on a personal and species level. This deep inner work led to their species awakening. This inner work can lead to your awakening as well. Woohoo! I like that card, Debbie. Leslie. Now, I didn't see Leslie out there today. That doesn't mean she isn't listening, but I'm going to pull a dragon for you, Leslie. How's that? Love the dragons. And awesome. Thank you. Asa, I don't know what I would do without you. I don't know how I managed this every morning before you were there. I'm sure I did it, but aha. Dark blue galactic dragon for you, Leslie, helps you listen to the voice of the universe, ignite the codes of your master blueprint, access cosmic wisdom, and enter higher service. Look at that, dark blue galactic dragon. All right, let's grab the right book. Let's see. I don't think we've ever had that, actually. I don't remember that one. Dark blue galactic dragon is a ninth dimensional dragon. Page 104. So we're going to learn something new here. All right. So these dragons shimmer with golden sparkles of cosmic wisdom, for they harness the light of the stars, planets, and constellations. When we are ready, they touch us with this light, enabling us to embody the illumined energy and wisdom they contain. While many of us are now able to attune to the ninth dimension, it is still an awesome light, filled with joy, love, and wisdom beyond our current comprehension. Dark blue galactic dragons can send bursts of this cosmic searchlight through us to ignite the hidden codes of our master blueprint, the seventh dimensional light of our soul, so that we can listen to the voice of the universe. Remember, our soul must be at least seventh dimensional for us to receive permission to incarnate on Earth. Your soul journey has taken you to the stars and beyond. The dark blue galactic dragons now invite you to communicate with the masters of the universe, the Intergalactic Council, where you can contribute your energy for the smooth ascension of the planet. It is time to listen and serve. Ask the wondrous dragon who has come to you to tune you into the Intergalactic Council, where you will be offered the honor of petitioning the council. Decide whether your petition is for the welfare of animals or humanity, or to assist the ascension of the planet. Then ask the dragon to take you to the council to present your petition. Dark blue galactic dragons will also instruct you during meditation or sleep. This will enable you to serve in a galactic capacity and will hugely expand your energy fields. Wow. I think we did have this card before because I remember reading that. There you go. Dark blue galactic dragon for you, Leslie. Lovely, lovely. Pauline, you are next. Did you have, I don't remember if you said what kind you wanted, what kind of card. So let me think about this one. Let's see if I've got a, no. Okay. So I'm going to get the Mayan for you. I'm going to use them anyway for Ursula. So let's use the Mayan for you as well, Pauline. And we haven't worked with these babies in a couple of weeks. So let's do that. Okay. So Pauline, a Mayan card for you. Kimmy, which is one of the day signs, right? One of the day signs in the Pleiadian Earth energy. It's transcending energy, transcending, or Kimmy. So let me find that one in here. Kimmy comes before Monique. There it is. So there's always a little poem, Lord God have mercy. That comes with each of these earth signs. And it says, velvet soft enclave of release, death in which I do not die, receive me, assist my surrender that I may enter innocent into the sacred garden. In receiving Kimmy, you are being asked to release and surrender. Surrender is the opposite of giving up. It is freeing yourself from the desire to be in control, letting go of how you think things should be. Surrender is freedom. You are being invited to release yourself from the bondage of preconceived action, to let everything be all right as it is, so that you can live a more inspired life in the moment. You are being asked to take action in the process of surrender and release. You are requested to die a symbolic death to surrender your limiting beliefs. Symbolic death unveils the self by cutting away the outgrown parts of yourself that no longer serve you. In such a death, ego structures fall away to reveal the garden of the true self. Look for new ways of being, new people, new ideas, and new directions that will move into the vacuum created through surrender and release. Like yeast, surrender enlivens and empowers you to experience more of life's fullness. Kimmy brings humility, either by helping you to humbly embrace the process of surrender and release, or by forcing you to your knees. Experience a balm of forgiveness that is intrinsic to the sacred realm of death. Holding on to past patterns and grievances only limits the possibilities. Forgive yourself, forgive others, let go, surrender whatever limits you. Face whatever you are resisting. In the experience of any loss, it is never too late to complete. Through your willingness to walk in the dark forest, insights and revelations will naturally emerge. If you find yourself disturbed by or denying any painful processes, be willing to look at how you might embrace death. Death is a natural part of transformation. Sometimes we are brought to experiences Sometimes we are brought to experience symbolic deaths, such as a loss, divorce, illness, or separation from others. As you embrace these seemingly dark or difficult experiences, there we go, they will release you from attachments and expectations, clearing you to more fully receive the light. And then there's the long poem, but I'm not going to go into that. So hopefully that is helpful for you. And it may not even be something that is traumatic or dramatic happening in the now, but it could be something that has happened from the past that you are reliving in some ways in the now. Okay, so now, next was Cosmic Ilaria, your choice. Ilaria, I think you're out there on the streets of Mexico trying to fight a battle, right? Do something good with your magnificent energy. So I'm going to pull you a dragon to help you on that path. Dragons are pretty powerful, magical beings. They've emerged into our consciousness in a big way, kind of like unicorns now are sort of in there. So let's see what dragon you get here. You have a black dragon cocoons you so that your divine potential grows. Meditate, reflect, undergo a metamorphosis. That sounds pretty powerful. Let's see here what that means. Black dragon. No, it's not the one from Saturn. It's just the black dragon. There we go. 52. So the black dragon, the fifth dimensional black dragons are powerful. They only come to us when we are ready to nurture a new idea or concept that will enable our divine potential to grow. Black is the ultimate divine feminine color, the shade of mystery and magic, of secrets and hidden hopes. When we are prepared to surrender to the black dragons, they will cocoon us in silky black energy. And as we rest within this safe, dark place, they will enable the new to develop within us. Eventually, we will emerge like a butterfly, having undergone a profound metamorphosis. Choosing this card suggests it is time to rest, for it is during such moments of relaxation that divine projects, creative ideas, or a new way of thinking are conceived. In times of peace and stillness, fresh seeds and ideas can grow. The mighty black dragons wish to create a dark cocoon for you now so that you can germinate and sprout. You are asked to accept their assistance, for it will serve your spiritual growth. Take time to meditate or reflect, and the dragons will surround you with their breath. This will allow the opportunity that is being presented to you to take root. When you are ready, the black dragons will help you to nurture the new growth. Ask them to help you hold your vision until it comes to glorious fruition. They will also be working with you in your sleep state, and you may be aware of their presence, so acknowledge their help. Expect to be different and be ready to spread your wings. Wow. I think that goes along right along with what I was saying about Mars retrograde, you know, where we really need to take the time to reimagine ourselves, get clear on what is our real true desire before we take that leap, right? And okay, who was after Ilaria? I think it said Ursula, Mayan. Okay, I knew that. That's why I had the Mayans out. All right, Ursula, this is yours. And let's see here. Oh, Pauline wanted Galactic. Sorry, Pauline. So you get the Galactic Mayans. All right, so here for you is the word center. It is a number card, right? The bar represents 5. So center. Let's take a look here, Ursula, at what the number might mean for you. And I'm getting everything but that one. Here we go. And here's your little poem. Through the star portal, glide and soar. Foundations dance at apple's core. Hand of man at spirit's door. The qualities, core purpose, central intent, foundation, place of centeredness, simplicity, and acceptance of your humanness. 5 is the ray of center, the first bar, the foundation of humanity and the individual self. Step into the center of your crystalline core. What do you find there? What is your foundation, your core purpose, your central intent, your individual vision? Use this vision as an access to the truth at your stellar core. See yourself as an ever-expanding hub of truth and light. I love that. You are the center of your own universe. Remember that there is great wisdom to be found within the human form. In genuine acceptance of your humanness, find the foundation in the individual self for your expanded essence. Turn inward and bring more light into your form. Discover the foundation of your sacred center. In meditation, receive the serenity of this Unus Mundi, the place of perfect centeredness. In letting go of who you think you are, you become who you actually are. Be simple. You are always sitting in the center. Be the Zen master centered in beginner's mind. Oh, I think that's a good one for all of us. Thank you, Ursula. That was a great choice of cards for you. Loann, your choice. Well, Loann, I think you need a spirit animal. Loann, whom I just discovered lives not all that far from me. Far enough it would be a day trip, I think, huh, Loann? So it's always fun to see that there are people in the same place, you know, that are interested in the same things you are. So a spirit animal, and in this deck by Colette Baron-Reed, there is both a protection message, if it's upside down, and it's cat spirit upside down. So let me take a look here. See the cat, that's the right side up view, number 13, which is a 4. And it says, claim your independence, but it was upside down. So we're going to read the protection message in that. Card 13. I don't think I've ever pulled cat, even though I have a cat. So claim your independence. And here's your message. This may be the time you are facing some unpredictable situations. Are you hesitant to take a risk? Too cautious to jump into something new because you fear you can't trust yourself? Cat spirit is saying, go for it, because you will land on your feet. If nothing seems to be going according to plan, there is no reason to worry. Cat spirit loves to mix it up, and these seeming upsets will actually bring you some wondrous and unexpected opportunities. Get ready to pounce, as you may be called, to jump into something new at a moment's notice. At this time, your instincts are keen and your intuition is sharp. Remember, even a temporary failure can lead to a spectacular success. So embrace the adventure. You are sure-footed and can trust yourself. That's a great message. Great message. All right. So that was for you, Loann. I hope that makes sense for you. And let's see here. Who was next? After Loann, it was Amanda, I think. Amanda J. And Marissa Bennett, your choice. Okay, so Amanda. I'm Amanda. Let me rearrange my desk here a minute. I'm going to get you a Mayan card as well. I think you need some intergalactic wisdom from an ancient civilization. Let's see. Whoa, see? It jumped out. Whoa, eesh. The healer. Ish. Interesting card. Ish is the healing energy in the Pleiadian calendar. Ish was the representation sometimes of the jaguar, of the high priest or the priestess kind of energy. So let's see. We haven't had this card before. Ish. All right. Ish. Symbols, jaguar, wisdom wand, all-seeing eye, and the peacock. And I don't know why I just jumped out with this. Here are some crystals, stones that might work for this energy. Moldavite, opal, a crystal ball, rainbow moonstone, green watermelon tourmaline. I have some of that. All right, here is your poem. Discoverer, jaguar seer, show me the larger vision. In alignment with the will of the divine, I call on you, my integrity, to refine. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this. Receiving ish indicates that magic is afoot. You have drawn the light magician, the jaguar seer. Expand your vision to include the excitement of more magic in your life. Ish offers you initiation. Ish challenges you to pick up your wisdom wand and embrace the beneficial use of the will. Through your presence and simple beingness, magic's dimensional doorways open. Magic is a type of perception. Magic dances only in the present tense. Magic requires reverent attention. Are you silent enough to receive it? Magic requires open, flexible awareness to show its mysterious face. Thus, if you are trying to be in control in your ego, you probably will not perceive what is magical around you. Simplify, stop thinking, and enter into direct perception of what is. Magic will have no choice but to dance with you. It reminds you to align your will with that of the divine and to look inside, not outside, for the answers that you seek. Through the lens of integrity, examine your motivations and actions. Through the lens of heart knowing, guide, direct, and align your intentions. Think with your heart. Act as a torchbearer for the light. Allow yourself to be danced in divine innocence as a channel for the most expanded magic. Step into self-empowerment. When you align with what gives you joy, expressing your beauty and power, your natural energy expands to include more of who you are. Nothing and no one outside yourself can give you real power. Empower yourself by directly addressing the situation at hand. Act with integrity and magical outcomes will naturally blossom. Oh my gosh, that was a great card. Love that one. Okay, that was for you, Amanda. Marissa Bennett, my choice. You know, I'm going to stick with the Mayans. They seem to be pretty magical today. So Marissa Bennett. Marissa. Hologram. Well, that's an interesting looking card. Look at that. Hologram. Looks like the sun or maybe the moon. It's probably the sun though. And those are like human design triangles, right? The design crystal and the personality crystal coming together. Yeesh, let's see what that means. Hologram, that's one of the special cards, I believe. Harmonic wisdom. Whoa. Okay, where are those cards? Ah, found them. Okay, so hologram is... Okay. So these cards are called the lenses. So that's an interesting way to look at these cards. Hologram says the qualities are a quantum leap into light, overview, reflected image of the one, greater reality, expanded viewpoint, evolution into wholeness, and entering the big story. In the midst of the collective trance, it is easy to see yourself as imperfect and unworthy. Release your self-limitations. You are literally creating reality with your perceptions. Receiving this lens indicates that healing any perception of isolation or separation from unity with source is a major life lesson. In receiving this lens, you are being asked to find a vision of your part in the greater hologram, the reflected image of the great central sun, the source. Let go of the perception of your life as a contracted ego in the small story. You are entering into your multidimensional presence in the big story. The larger pattern of the unfoldment of your intended purpose for actually coming to the planet at this time. Keep your awareness open and tuned for clues about this leap into the larger pattern that is taking place. This is a profound card. Do you remember the hologram of Princess Leia in the movie Star Wars? Holograms are created when a coherent light source, the divine, is beamed on a mirror, spiritual reality, then onto a photographic field, physical reality, creating a three-dimensional image, you. You are being asked to embrace this expanded way of looking at reality. From the greater perspective of the larger hologram, there is no time. Hence, you have already completed your return journey into oneness. At the very least, consider the possibility that we are actually lively little holograms dancing in the virtual reality of the divine mind. Try looking at the situation at hand from a different position in the hologram. An elephant looks different to a mouse and a giraffe. Become aware of where you are viewing the hologram. The changes needed to bring you into alignment with perceiving your wholeness are mirrored in your external reality. What reflections are presently being provided for you in the people and processes in your life? What you see around you is your homework in the process of spiritual evolution. Become aware of the gifts being offered in these reflections. There are no mistakes or failures in your life. There is no way to do your life wrong. Listen to that, everyone. I'm going to read that again. There are no mistakes or failures in your life. There is no way to do your life wrong. Take a deep breath and relax. What you are experiencing right now is perfect for your evolution into wholeness. Focus on your natural luminosity. When you are empty and still, you become a clear instrument through which the coherent light source of the Creator can simply shine through. In this way, you fulfill divine purpose simply by being. It's not about what you do, it's about who you be. Perfect. All right, Marissa. I think that is it. I'm already over time. Oh, Michelle Good, my choice. All right, Michelle Good. You will be the last one for the day. Because we're on such a roll with the Mayans, I'm going to give you a Mayan. I just feel like Ursula opened up a big doorway when she requested Mayan today. And yay, and yours just flew out of the deck as well. This is the 2-bar. 5 and 5 is 10. And it says manifestation, manifestacion. Okay, let's see what that means. Manifestation, 2 bars is a 10, which we know in the Pleiadian calendar, when we get to the 10 day, right? The 10 day is about manifestation. What are we manifesting? Well, we're manifesting what we've been focused on. What have you been focused on? All right, so here we go. Here is the poem, Passkey to True Identity in This and All Worlds. Unlock the gates to the great mystery manifesting through you. The qualities are intention, motivation, true identity, foundation of essence self, aligned manifestation. And it says 10 is the ray of manifestation, the foundation of individual self manifesting its true identity, the foundation of essence self. A potent manifestation awaits you. 2 worlds combine. The key to manifestation in all realms is through clear intention and the embodiment of your divine essence. What does your heart desire to manifest? Begin by aligning with your essence. Essence aligned with intention creates an etheric thought form, an energy matrix image. As long as it is unrestricted by limiting beliefs, the energy pattern emerges and evolves. As it evolves, it aligns with the larger pattern until finally it is released into manifestation. In receiving 10, you are being asked to look carefully at your own foundations. What structures and belief systems is your reality built upon? What foundations motivate your choices? You are now creating a new foundation, walking into all that you are, your essence self. As the foundation of your essence self emerges, others will recognize your true identity. When you are in resonance with the universe, manifestation is a natural byproduct. Unconstrict your vision to include the seemingly impossible by standing outside your linear perceptions, which dictate that things must occur in a step-by-step way. Instead of trying to figure it out with your ego mind, simply resonate with the desired manifestation. See and feel it as already completed, because in nonlinear reality, it is. By focusing your awareness beyond the static appearance, in quotes, of reality into the generative, quantum, active aspect of the creation, the casual matrix of archetypes and sacred geometry, you can naturally precipitate directly that which you desire. Wow, that was a lot of words. Maybe I should reread that last sentence. By focusing your awareness beyond the static appearance of reality into the generative, quantum, active aspect of the creation, the casual matrix of archetypes and sacred geometry, you can naturally precipitate directly that which you desire. That's a mouthful, but it's very enlightening. All right. That is it for me today, guys. That was a lot of readings. I hope everybody got something from that. As since we're all together in this, every one of these card readings could be meant for you as well. All right. Take care, everyone. See you tomorrow, Friday. Yay. All right. Until then, have a blessed day. Bye for now.